I didn't even want a radio show. I've said it many, many times. And now 2 years down the road, not missing a week of fucking radio shows with amazing, wonderful, fantastic people. What I did was I stood outside my house after the being told I was going to be doing it. And I've had a mantra that I've been using for years and years and years in English, because most mantras are Indian or Asian or Chinese or Japanese. And I have this mantra that it's, and I'll slow it right down, but I sort of meditate it. It's just say the right things to the right people at the right time. And I think that's what I've been trying to do all these years. And therefore, if you put that out to the universe, I think one ends up saying the right things to the right people at the right time.
I tell you, Sean, I'm a Raja Yoga teacher. And before every single interview, I ask for guidance. You know, please use me as an instrument of peace. Let me reach out and unite people. Let me build bridges between the hearts and souls of people. Guide me, talk through me, you know. And if I don't have anything to say, then please silence me, you know, guide me.
Well, okay, well, you're going to be guided right now. How about we talk about JFK? How about we go down that route? I had Liam Sheff on, an American radio host who has spent a lot of his time researching JFK. And the assassination plot and all the rest of it. So he was on a few weeks back, and I'd love to hear your version of it. It'd be fantastic. I'm sure the listeners would like that too.
What do you want to hear?
I want to hear what happened. How did it happen? Who shot who?
Oh my God, it's super complex. If you want to, I can go through on a street level who the shooters were, the position, the whole thing, how it was carried out. But if you want to know who was behind it, or you tell me.
On CIA, the street level, wasn't it?
It is super complex. This is, they call it the grandmother of all operations. It's being used as an example in schools for assassins and snipers in the States and so on, how to carry out one of these political assassinations on a high level.
Is it pretty much a template for all the other assassinations that have taken place?
I would say no, not really a template. One of the things that I found out, because I started out in the early 80s being very almost obsessed with the JFK assassination, mm-hmm. Not really to find out what happened, but to find out why we were being lied to. Because, you know, after seeing the so-called Zapruder film for the first time, when you see that the final headshot is coming from the front and to the right, it's so obvious that his whole head is being blown off backwards and to the left, meaning normal, simple physics, the shooter must have been front to the right, not what we have been told to this very day, from the back and up and to the right. That doesn't make any sense at all. And I always use what I call Farmer Brown logic, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. Doesn't matter if somebody in a fancy robe and a great title, or in a laboratory and a 3D computer animation thing, says it's 34. I know it is not true. And if somebody is trying to force that upon me, I know that he's there, he's doing it for a reason. And that reason is to cover up the real truth. So by following that lie, that will lead me to other lies that will lead me down the track and finally get me to the truth, you know, because the truth is very simple.
So why don't we skip to the truth then, Ollie, and say that all the ins and outs, the whys and wherefores and all the rest of it, fair enough. We can argue them, we can look at them, we can logically, systematically go through them. But then let's talk about who's doing what to who, why did it happen, and how often are they doing this type of stuff to mold nations of people?
That is a very good question. I would say they're doing it so often, so often. What they use, as far as I've been able to figure out, they use old Roman templates that was tested and invented by the old Romans, and they just use the same methods for decades and generations and generations. They just made high-tech versions of them. And this is one of the things in many interviews that I describe the templates instead of the actual happenings, because that will make the listener, the next time something happens, the next time a murder is blamed on a lone patsy, a crazy lone crazy guy, or the next time you see a bomb blowing up in a subway being blamed on a Muslim or
they always have a patsy, don't they, Ollie? They always have a patsy.
That's part of the template. So that is why I describe the template, so that people will wake up to the fact and see the next time it happens, like, whoa, 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 wait a second. I'm not going to just swallow the version I'm being served. I'll look into it first, you know. I will slowly open up my mind. And then once you see how it's carried out, you will start seeing it almost on a weekly basis, like boom, 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 boom. Another one, another one, another one. Because this so-called global elite that is behind so much misery in the world at the moment, they're using this template on such a regular basis now that it's now the last agenda that they are using. It's a scare of the week. Mm-hmm. When it comes to mass shootings, there's one mass shooting per week in the States on a totally static regular thing, and I can foresee the future. There will be one in New York that week, then it will be Los Angeles, then it will be New Orleans, then it will be Chicago, then it will be Arizona, then it will be Ohio. You know, they spread them out so that they will affect as many people as possible.
Yeah.
We're back to the old Roman tactics. I can describe one of them if you want to.
Go for it.
Okay, one of the ones that they love, absolutely love, is called problem, reaction, solution. They secretly create a problem to get a reaction from the public, and the reaction is always the same emotional reaction they're looking for, saying, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then they turn towards me, who they're not aware of, secretly created the problem, and then I will serve them my solution. Hmm. Do you know, in the old days, if you look in the 70s and so on, there was quite a lot of military coups in South America. And what happened was that this was all the time directed from the CIA with Henry Kissinger in the background and these type of people moving into countries, just knocking them out one by one. But what they used was a local part of the military to take over. They appointed a general to, you're going to be the next president, Pinochet or whatever the names were, and we're just going to kill the old president. You take over and you follow our agenda. That was the whole idea.
Absolutely.
So what happened? They went in. Whoever was the real elected president, they just chopped his head off. Boom, off the throne, and in you move with a new military government. So, done deal. Absolutely not. Because what happens is that when a whole people wake up the next morning and see, my God, there's this military lunatic on the throne in our country, you suddenly have a problem with mass demonstrations, you have guerrilla movements, you have protest actions, you have, you know, maybe international boycotts from other countries, you know, boycotting the country, shutting it off, you know, trade-wise. Massive mess, you know. In the end, you need to do mass arrests. You need to torture people to tell where the rest of the resistance movement are hiding. You need to mass execute them. And in the end, you need as many soldiers as there's a population. You know? So it's a mess. It's a mess. It's a mess. The way to do it is to follow the template. You secretly create a problem. And this problem is more or less all the time a problem of violence. It's a bomb, a mass shooting, an assassination, but most of the time they love bombs because that works so good in media. So I secretly, if I would do one of these things now, if I were the one in power.
Of course, is that okay? Of course. I mean, look, you are talking to an Irishman who lived in England and knows down well about the false flags of all the IRA bombings in England. So
yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, exactly. My friend, go ahead.
Okay. You are in Ireland, yeah? So let's say I'm the one in charge on Ireland. And what I want is I want a militarized police looking like Robocops. I want them to drive around in tanks. Maybe they do that already. Not. I want them to have drones and bazookas and missiles and to be able to do mass arrests with no warrants, kick in doors with no warrants, detain you forever and ever without a trial. If I just did that, I would have this type of massive problem from the population, other countries and so on, saying, my God, that the Irish president, he's got totally mad. He's gone mad. So what I do instead is I secretly place a bomb And I would, if Ireland was the place, I would go for Dublin, you know. Have you got subways in Dublin?
No.
Or train stations?
Well, train stations we have, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I would go, it needs to be somewhere central, you know, where there are lots of people moving in and out so that as many people can feel affected as possible. So what I do is I secretly create a problem. I secretly place a bomb in the train station. At the same time, I prepare a patsy that's going to be blamed for it. So I would, nowadays I would go for the truth seekers, the Irish truth seekers. Oh my God. Okay. So what I would do is I would slowly leak out in media to demonize this group, you know, ooh, the truth seekers, they meet on Wednesday and some of them have beards, you know, and maybe they have books hidden and when they have hidden guns under the place, the office where they meet or something like that. You leak that out, you know, you leak it out through media that you control to a great extent, or you can make like small short documentaries about the truth movement in other countries, like the Sri Lankan truth movement. They blew off the parliament, you know, these type of things to prepare the subconscious of the population. You leak that out. And at the same time, I prepare evidence that would, false evidence that would totally point out that group. Okay. So I've got the bomb in place. I've got the evidence. I've got a prepared patsy who is totally innocent. It's just a group that I have problems with. They're a pain in the butt. I want to get rid of them. Okay. At the same time, also I prepare my own investigation that would be on standby so that as soon as this terror act happens, boom, my own investigation moves in with key people that I control and knocks out all normal, honest, decent police detective, police officers and so on that would actually look for the truth.
Mm.
My investigation has only one task, and that is to cover it up. Okay. That is the main task. And also to check out who are the truth seekers that will not give up to try and find out the truth. These people will be threatened, harassed or eliminated. That is also the investigation that will just point these out because they would be contacted by these people in the long run. Okay. Yeah. So what I need is, I need this to get an emotional impact. So, the key to that is women and children. They love nurses and also nuns. These two, to get the impact. It doesn't, work if you blow up some cows or a barn or an old people home. Sorry about old people, but it doesn't work. It needs to be emotional. So women and children, that's the one. Blow these people up, show awful blown up bodies and blood and awful images. That's the way to go to get that emotional. So the whole thing is set. The bomb is in place. The evidence is prepared. The patsy is pointed out. You leaked out. So you started to demonize him. So everything is prepared. Your own investigation is on standby. And then you need to get this going when people are the most vulnerable. So the best thing is just when they've had their first coffee or something like that, 8:15, 9:15, something like that, when the most people are on the way to pick up kids or leave kids or to work or something, so that it will affect as many as possible, you know?
Absolutely.
So what you do, and then just before you pull it off, you turn off the telephone net, you know, so telephones are shut down, mobiles are shut down, everything is shut down so that I totally control the version that comes out. Okay. That will later be blamed on, well, everybody tried to call them and see if they were safe, you know, call their friends and so on. That's why the whole thing was shut down. I'm sorry. This is the same thing every single time from JFK onwards. Yes. It would be turned off for about an hour until they have total control of the version leaking out or being given out. So everything prepared. 8:15 or 8:30. He just had his coffee. He's still not really awake. And here we go. Boom. Off goes the bomb. Blows up all these innocent people. There are just bits and pieces flowing everywhere. Awful images. And the media is on standby more or less. Goes in and start pumping all of these things out in media. And you will see or you will hear within minutes that the reporter will say, and it's the truth movement, and it's Bin Laden, and it's the war on terror, and it's that they will serve you the solution within minutes. Yes. Where did that come from? Insiders, you know, inside. Listen to the solution you're being served. It's within a few minutes. Mass shootings. Oh, we need more gun control. Mass shootings. Oh, we need to ban automatic weapons. The reporter will prepare you, or the guy that they interview in the street will say, oh my God, mass shootings like this. We need to ban all the automatic weapons. You know, this will be served. So be aware of that.
I think you're actually talking to a very, very wise and enlightened and aware audience in People's Internet Radio. It's a quite an amazing bunch of people who aren't even asking questions at the moment. They're just agreeing with you. Okay.
There's not a lot to discuss because this is so obvious once you see the template.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a template that I found in a paper form. It's just I've seen this is the way they carry it out, you know, and then I just, if I can continue.
Of
that,
course, of course.
After, then what happens is that after the explosion goes off, your own investigation go in, whoop, takes over everything. And the media, then the investigation is totally focused on answering the media. And this whole thing would be, oh my God, this awful thing has happened. And what are we going to do? Please, all people, don't get... you know, just stay calm, don't do anything like this. We will take care of them. We will just knock out the whole truth movement in one go. We will mass arrest, we'll blow them up, we'll use drones to, I'm sorry, we don't have time to get warrants written, so we'll just blow them up everywhere. We'll see them and knock them up. And that would be welcomed as we would be the heroes going in, knocking this whole organization in one single blow.
Yes.
But what happens is also that I move in with all this militarized police, with bulletproof vests, I'm sorry to say, but your country has been so targeted for such a long time, so you're used to see these tanks and people in bulletproof vests and automatic weapons. Other countries are not. I mean, you have really been taking a bad beating for a long, long time. But then what they will do is that once the problem is solved, they will withdraw, like after maybe a week or 10 days, they will withdraw the troops, but they will leave about 20%, because now people are used to see these tanks in the street and the people with bulletproof vests and all of these things. So they will just leave it for your protection.
Of course.
It's always for your protection. Then what also happens is that if people, maybe journalists or private people like myself, just keep coming back saying, but listen, this is not real. You know, it cannot be the truth movement. They had nothing to do with it. You know, absolutely not. You need to look into it. If that continues, because they want an open shut case, you know, it was a lone crazy guy. The reason they always want a lone crazy guy when it comes to assassination is he was alone, meaning there was no conspiracy. Yeah. He was crazy, meaning there was no motive. You know, he was just crazy. He went up, shot the guy, case closed. And very often this guy ends up dead anyway, very fast, so nobody can ask questions. Case closed, thank you. Please continue to the left. But if people keep pushing for the truth, push for the truth, then in the end, create what is called a commission. And this commission, I would call it some fancy name like the truth-finding, wonderful, sunshine, stardust commission aimed to find the liberty for normal people. Some fancy, you know, the only task they have is to drag it out for about a year. There will be scandals inside the commission, you know, maybe, and then some member of the commission has to withdraw. So you have to appoint a new member of the commission, and that would be added on to like 2-3 more months, because you have to inform the new member of all the incredible work you've done so far. Drag it out. They will write thousands of pages of absolute information saying zero, absolute zero, 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 boring stuff.
Absolutely.
And you leak out all these articles in media, just making people absolutely fed up. But the investigations, no, the commission's job is to look into the investigation of the crime, not the crime itself. And then after a year or 18 months, they would come forward with a big, big stack of documents saying, okay, here is the report. And the report will say every single time, well, the investigation, they really did what they could and they made some mistakes, but we've done a great job. And so thank you so much. And case closed. If that is not enough, if people keep pushing, like for the assassination of Olof Palme in Sweden, there've been three different commissions just because we've not given up.
Of course.
And yeah. So they will put another commission there, and this will be even a more fancy name than the first one. And what they will do is look into the first commission that looked into the investigation that looked into the crime they were supposed to look into. And that will drag it out. And they will just keep appointing these until the normal person in the street is so fed up with it that they don't even want to hear about it.
Absolutely. That's, no, they do that here all the time with tribunal after tribunal. Yes, they do.
Oh, tribunal, you call them, we call them commission, you call them tribunal. That's the way to just bore people to death and get away with murder, literally.
Yeah. No, it's disgusting. And have you got any more to add to that, Ollie? Because it really is the template, isn't it?
It's one of them. It's one of them. And I just, it's very important to understand that the investigation is part of the
whitewash,
the so-called terror. The commission is part of the crime.
Yes.
They're not what you think. And that what they do is they very often use the same members of these committees. They just, maybe he's the chairman in one commission, then he's the secretary in the next one. They just swap positions, you know, and many of these people are Freemasons that they can control, and they just swap them around so that you get an illusion of democracy, an illusion of them searching for the truth. It is absolute bollocks. It is a total lie.
Yeah, don't mince your words, Ollie. And you're dead right. Charlie in the chat room says, we are moving into the age of Aquarius, and the Jesuits and ancient orders are programming us over a few generations and likely hiding themselves under different guises yet again.
I tell you, when it comes to these conspiracies, you have to focus on some areas. I focused on tracking down assassins and what happened on a street level, how they carry it out and so on. When it comes to these bigger things, I leave it to other people who know more.
Well, it is big. I tell you what, Ollie, we're going to take a break, but I couldn't think of a better tune to put on while we do. And that is by Asia Fields again. Another great track by Asia Fields. And this time it's called, and it fits in perfectly, and it was actually lined up next. It's called Bluff. And that is and that is what they're doing, isn't it? It's one big fecking bluff.
There you go.
So we know what to do when the tune's on, Ollie, and let's have a bit of a break. It lasts about 4.5 minutes, so let's enjoy it and grab yourself a coffee or a cup of tea or a bottle of water or something, okay?
Cheers.
Check you back in a bit. This is Asia Fields and Bluff. And that was Bluff by Asia Fields. And I'm going to play a few more tracks by Asia Fields before the end of the night is up. Grov Malofsky's actually in the chat room. So, hey, the lead singer of the band is actually in the chat room, which is quite amazing too. Aha, he must have heard. So anyway, guys, welcome back to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And just to let you know that it is the 25th of the 6th, 2014. It is just about 10 past 10 here in Ireland. Don't know what time it is where you are, but I am very honoured, very, very honoured to have with me Ollie Damagard. Are you still with me?
I sure am.
That, welcome back to Out of the Bag. Nice little break there and good music too. So Ollie, I don't want to be... as you said earlier, you just lead me. That's not my intention to lead people or to, you know, to take people down a certain path or any of that. But I do, and I did take a few notes, and I tried to research you as soon as I heard you were coming on my show. And I ended up listening to a couple of interviews you had with Jim Fetzer on his show. And my God, they were mostly him talking, so I didn't really get to...
he does enjoy his own voice.
So it was mostly him talking, Ollie. So I think
you picked... there's one where he really takes over, but all the rest one are great.
Okay. Well,
I'm not talking about you leading me. I'm just saying because I'm informed about in so many different areas. It's just a matter of which one do you want to go into, and I'll be happy to whatever it is.
Okay.
We're talking about John Lennon and the JFK.
Yes.
If you want to, I can connect the two.
Please do. And also move on to Operation 40 as well. I'm very interested in that. But that's just to put into your mind.
No, but that is the red thread that connects so many of these things.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that in the early 1960s or the late 1950s, President Dwight Eisenhower... He was not the president that really made the decision. It came from above him, but he was given the task of putting together a super secret team of elite assassins. He gave this task to his vice president, Richard Nixon, and together Richard Nixon with some really hardened CIA veterans, they recruited mostly exiled Cubans in Miami to train them as assassins in all, you know, everything from jungle warfare to blowing up things to poison, you name it, they were trained in it.
I mean, this is straight out of a Hollywood movie, isn't it, Ollie? Do you know?
It's straight out of reality and Hollywood has followed.
Yeah, okay, you know? Go for it.
So, the CIA people that were involved were Ted Shackley. He was called the Blonde Ghost. He was super central in so many assassinations globally over the next decades. Another one was David Attlee Phillips, who was the controller of Lee Harvey Oswald, the patsy that was blamed for the JFK assassination. He was also the controller of James Files, who was the shooter behind the picket fence. And he was also the controller of a man by the name of Michael Vernon Townley, who later became a very hired assassin and used globally by the CIA. And he was also on location the night when the Swedish prime minister, 23 years after the JFK assassination, was taken out. He was in Stockholm there with other people, part of the assassination team. There was also E. Howard Hunt, who was one of the Watergate burglars and who was also very, very central for decades when it came to these type of assassinations and terror acts. But the people they recruited, it's called Operation 40, but they were more than 40. They were actually around 86 people and one woman. And the main task to start with was to take out Fidel Castro. But then when JFK, after the Cuban Missile Crisis, where he had like almost an enlightened moment when he was almost forced to start the Third World War, a nuclear war, and he refused to be the one who did that. After that, when he was almost sitting with a finger on the button, where he could have been the one that had destroyed the whole world, he just came to a point where, oh my God, we need to stop this madness. And from that point, he suddenly started acting in a totally different way from being a playboy with no real inner strength. He suddenly became this very determined man that just said, enough is enough. So he decided we're going to crush the CIA in 1,000 pieces. He fired 3 of the holy cows in the CIA, absolute untouchables. He fired them. Hmm. He said, we're going to withdraw out of the war in Vietnam that hadn't even really started on the American part. It was a French war before, but very much connected with the Golden Triangle and the whole drug trade into the States from that area of the world. He said, we're going to say bye-bye to the Federal Bank Reserve. We're going to say, I mean, there were so many things. There were so many people that he upset. So what this group of elite people, they said, okay, fine, let's take him out. He's just too much. We need to take him out, and we need to do it now. So a major part of the shooters in Dealey Plaza came from Operation 40, but it was a combination as well. They were joined by the mob, and they also called in the CIA and the FBI, not only the CIA, the Secret Service as well. So everyone in behind the conspiracy had to bring in their own shooters to, just like in the Roman ages, you know, when they killed Julius Caesar, everybody had to stab him. Everybody had to dip their hands in blood so that nobody could point blaming at anyone else without giving themselves up. Mm-hmm. So Operation 40 was very, very central in the JFK assassination. And in this show or another one, I can point more or less all of the shooters out, their positions, the spotters, the breakdown guys, and so on. But what is more important, I think, is that after the JFK hit, was, since this was very successful, it was a very complex operation, but they pulled it off in a great way from their point of view. After that, these people went up in the ranks, you know, and became a team that was used on a regular basis. They were sent globally, here, there, everywhere. And people from Operation 40, like there was one of them, his name was David Morales. Mm-hmm. He was later named the top assassin of South America for the CIA. I mean, very, very violent man. He was also at the Ambassador Hotel overseeing the operation when Robert Kennedy was taken out, together with 2 other top CIA officials, not them being the shooters, but supervising the whole operation. He was also in Bolivia, where Felix Rodriguez, who was another guy from Operation 40 and very central in the Iran-Contra scandal, one of Oliver North, he was the right hand of Oliver North. Mm-hmm. But they were sent down to Bolivia to track down Che Guevara, who was Castro's companion. And Felix Rodriguez with some army soldiers and David Morales managed to catch Che Guevara, and David Morales was actually the one who killed him from the order of Felix Rodriguez. Felix Rodriguez to this very day is carrying Che Guevara's wrist watch, you know. Okay. He's very proud of that one. Mm. But also the paymaster of this group is very important to know about this guy, because his name was George Bush Senior.
Yes.
Okay, George Herbert Walker Bush Senior. He was the paymaster. He was the guy that funneled the funds from the military industrial complex, from all of these different financial interests that wanted to take Kennedy out. They wanted him out. And he was the guy who collected the money and brought it into this team of assassins financing the whole thing. Felix Rodriguez was actually George Bush's right hand at that operation, and has continued through his whole life. Felix Rodriguez has been right by his side. Anyway, so other members of Operation 40 was like, one of them were called Orlando Bosch. He was called Dr. Death. Mm-hmm. And he was later sentenced for, I don't know, at least 100, maybe 200 acts of terror against Cuban interests. You know, they blew up travel agencies, ships, boats, airliners, you name it. They even fired a bazooka missile against the UN building, but it missed, and so on. Very, very, very brutal man, this Orlando Bosch. He was later sentenced for all of these crimes, on many of them, because they were carried out in many different Latin American and South American countries, including the States, and was pardoned by who? George Herbert Walker Bush.
Of course. You know?
He's the one that keeps coming back, and he's so central in so many of these atrocities that has been going on from the 1960s and onwards. He is a key player in this whole, when it comes to Vietnam, when it comes to 9/11, all of these things, George Bush or the Bush family is the one thing, one of the things that connect them all.
Absolutely.
But also this team of assassins that they kept using again and again and again.
So I have to ask you, Ollie, is this, you know, team of 40 or 86, as you say, back then, they obviously still exist. They're obviously a new blooded group of people doing the same sort of things, because the same sort of things are going on worldwide.
They're called the grandmother operations, you know, and the core group of these people, I mean, most of them are dead, because people that live by the sword die by the sword, as they say, you know, and many of them have met a very violent ending. But the core group has been very active. They changed the name of the group to many different, and they kept educating and training new assassins.
Yes.
So out of that core group has come many, many new constellations and groups. And I know personally one man by the name of Chip Tatum, who was, he's now a whistleblower, but he was a deep cover CIA agent for 25 years, night stalker pilot. He was one of the pilots in the Iran-Contra scandal. Taking weapons out of the States and drugs into the States. He was also the commander of a super secret team of assassins called Pegasus that was personally controlled by George Bush Sr. And they went globally taking out people. They were on at least 17 missions where they killed people globally. And I now have the, I can almost call him a friend. I know him, but it's a very strange relationship, because when I think of his past, you know, he was one of the people I tracked down for so many years trying to find out who he was. When I see the violence that had been involved and the awful, awful stuff that he has been part